Good morning. So we're having some technology problems this morning. Both of our normal microphone systems have decided they're not working. So we've got one old microphone working and we're just going to pass it around as needed. So great to see you all and to people who are on Zoom. And I'll now hand this to Caroline.
Thank you. Can everybody hear me okay? Good morning. Right, let's give this a go, shall we? So, welcome to our service this morning, especially if you are a newcomer or a visitor. Visitors may wish to sign the visitor's book. We have a monthly Kids at Church service today. Remembrance Day. Remembrance Day is next Sunday, the 13th of November. In addition to the annual normal act of remembrance, we will commemorate the centenary of the dedication of the War Memorial in Cairney Hill, which took place in December 1922. The service is in church and on Zoom at the normal time. There was a Christmas craft fair yesterday, so we'd like to thank everybody who helped organise and run the Christmas fair yesterday and to everyone who came along. And George has got a whole list of things to tell you, so I'm going to have to pass the microphone to him.
Can anybody hear me? Yes, good. Oh, I can hear myself. That's always a good thing. If I can hear myself, things are working. Good. Yes, I was quite surprised when I came in this morning and we've got more technical difficulties. But anyway, there you go. We'll get to the bottom of them eventually. Now, I've got a couple of bits of paper in front of me and you may be wondering why I'm talking. But yesterday we had our first post-COVID genuine Christmas craft fair, which was an amazing success despite the weather and despite a number of other issues. But anyway, we'll not go in there. Let me say that this craft fair is continuing on, and you may see one or two objects around the church, and you're wondering what they are. Let's start with this one here. This was prepared for us by Marion Donald, and we're selling it as a silent auction. In other words, you put your bid on a piece of paper, write your bid on a name on a bit of paper, stick it in an envelope, and hand it to my good self after the service. So that's number one that's still ongoing. We're still going with guess the number of poppies there. Now, if you get really bored with I better watch what I'm saying here. But, oh dear, that's me on a naughty stool again this week. Anyway, you count the number of poppies that are there, and you guess the number, and then you give us that number on a bit of paper or thing. Is that what we do? Sorry?
50 pence a go.
Oh, it's 50 pence. You actually pay to do this. Yeah, I thought that. Well, it's 50 pence. Oh, I think you were in charge of that yesterday, Susan. Yes, would you like to continue with that today? That would be awfully kind of you. Thank you very much. And whilst you're doing that, you may see that there's a beautiful quilt hanging up there. You can win that quilt as well. Once again, is it 50 pence, Susan? Oh, it's a pound a strip, right. Oh, I'll get this right. That's not written down on my bit of paper. Yes?
You haven't said that all proceeds from the poppies are actually going to the poppy appeal.
Did everybody hear that?
Yeah.
All proceeds are going to the poppy appeal. And just on the...
For the poppies,
not for the other
things. No, not the other thing, just the poppies, right? Guess the poppies money is going to the poppies appeal. On that subject, we've actually got poppies outside as well, that you can, you know, do the poppy thing, support. Anyway, so that's the three things if you're wondering what all they are. Now, I've got all the thank yous to do. I don't know where to start, to be honest with you. Yesterday was an amazing day. Let's start with everything that came on the church stall. We're talking about the church craft stall, which are still available in the session house. Sorry, I'll correct that, the Irene Patterson room. So after service, if you want to have a wee look through there, you can see all the beautiful craft. Now I want to thank all the ladies, and if there were gentlemen involved in creating of the craft, They've done a brilliant job. Many, many thanks for that. You'll be amazed. I think there's photographs going on Facebook as well. Anyway, going on with the thank yous, I want to thank everybody that came along during the week and helped set up everything in the church. I want to thank everybody who came along yesterday morning and helped with all the arrangements that had to be done, looking after that. The teas and the coffees. We had teas and coffees for the first time post-COVID. Yes! And biscuits, they were delicious. Anyway, that's really good. Now, I want to thank all these people, the teas and the coffees and looking after the craft and the car park. Well, that was an interesting experiment, wasn't it, gentlemen? Yes, I don't know why we were there. But anyway, we'll leave. Moving on. I just want to thank everybody that was involved in making it such a successful event. Now, talking about successful events, being the treasurer, it's very important to me, the money side of things. You will not believe the amount of money we raised yesterday. It was quite incredible. If I told you and get together with your hands that we raised so far, and it's still ongoing, £861. So well done. Thank you, everybody. I think I'll sit down now and hand the microphone back to Norman. Thank you.
I can promise you that the sermon will probably be duller, but shorter than the intimations.
Oh,
there's still more intimations, right? Okay, Blytheswood Care, 75 boxes and 190 in cash donations. So that is terrific, and of course we involved our friends down in Limekilns. And there was a pile of boxes lying in front of the communion table there. So I think between the two churches, it's probably going to be close to 100 boxes, which is terrific. I'm intending to run it used to be called a membership class, which I always feel sounds a bit old-fashioned. So if you're interested in joining the church, I'm going to have a group that looks at that. And rather than saying it's going to be on this day at this time, what I'm saying is, if you're interested, let me know, and the group will be arranged around those who would like to be there. That's the best way of doing it, I think. And gift day, big thank you for our gift day. That total is now over 1,730. And with gift aid, that means we've raised near enough £2,000, which is terrific. This is me doing George's bit. So thank you very much. There's a lot about money there, but money is important for us and for others, and it's not all going to us. You'll see it's going to other people too, which is great. So thank you very much for that. And this is the order of service. I should maybe, I'm sure people on Zoom will have picked up that we're having microphone problems. So if you're not hearing as well as you usually do, then it's one of these things. We'll see what we can do. It's a very strange thing that both systems have crashed. One I could understand, both I don't understand, but Derek will work it out with Doug's help. We are here to worship Almighty God. So let's begin by singing a hymn that I remember from my youth. And I looked at it and I thought, well, I continue with this hymn. And the reason I'm using it is because when I was a child, I went, what on earth does this mean? Because there's loads of big words, and I wasn't very good at big words. But it made me see that God was bigger than I could understand. And in a strange, odd, and perverse kind of way, you would never guess I was a perverse child. I enjoyed it because it said something to me about how big God was. So immortal, invisible, God only wise. Let's dedicate our offering. Almighty God, we ask you to bless all that we offer to you, of our time, of our abilities, of our money. Bless these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I was talking about that hymn, which says something about God beyond our thinking. And to help us understand God did something amazing. He sent Jesus. And Jesus looked so ordinary and came from such an ordinary place and an ordinary little town that people went, nah, especially the really important and religious people. I suppose people like what I've become. Went, really? This man? No. And they set out to trick him. I've got some tricky questions. So this, I want you to answer these questions for me. What goes up but never comes back down?
A balloon?
Yeah. No, they come back down. I've checked that one out. Even the helium ones come back down. I'm going to ask.
Sky?
Sorry?
Sky
is up there, but it's never been down. So it's what goes up but never comes down?
Fuel prices,
okay. Well, they did actually come down a bit, and they're going back up a bit, but anyway.
Prices?
No, not prices. A lot of people in here complain about it.
Rain.
Well, that would be a good answer, yes. But if you go through the water cycle, of course. See, I've been to school. Good answer, but no. Wi-Fi, right? There's a modern answer. No, it's quite simple. And you older boys and girls should have got it. It's your age. Dorothy got it. All right. I just wasn't paying attention, Dorothy. Sorry. Okay. Here's a good one. If you drop a yellow heart in the Red Sea, what does it become? Did you write that one? Have you been writing this Christmas cracker ones? Right, we'll try another one. What things can you never eat for breakfast?
Weetabix.
Do you not like Weetabix? No, I used to call them Weetabrix when I was young. No, I don't like them either, but no, that's not the answer. It's quite a simple one. Well, you could eat a chocolate bowl. Or the bowl. Or the bowl. Well, actually, there's some places where the bowl is made out of bread and you can eat it as well.
Dinner.
Absolutely right. You cannot eat your lunch and dinner at breakfast. Right, okay. An elephant in Africa is called Lala. An elephant in Asia is called Lulu. What do you call an elephant in Antarctica? Lost. So, I like riddles and I went and found a few. There's lots more if you want more. If you want to take the riddles through with you, take the riddles through with you. You can have some fun with some of those. In a sense, it was a riddle. And the people were, rather than going, right, Jesus, give us the art, they went, you know, and if you want something, you try and be really nice. And that's why when people are really nice to me, I go, what do you want? So these people were really nice to Jesus. They said, you're very clever. And we know that you always tell the truth. We're really interested in what you have to say. Can you help us with something? And the question was, should we pay taxes to Caesar? And what they were really saying is, we are living as God's people, and these Romans have taken over, and they're asking us for money, and they are the bad guys. So, the question to Jesus was, should we pay our taxes? And if Jesus said, yes, you should pay your taxes, all the people would have gone, we don't, you're a bad guy, we're not. That's absolutely wrong. And if Jesus said, no, don't pay your taxes, somebody would have quietly gone and said, excuse me, Roman authorities, this guy is bad, go and arrest him. So whichever Jesus did, he was lost. It was a kind of a riddle. There seemed to be no answer. And Jesus was very, very clever because he said, give me a coin. And actually, we're probably thinking about coins just now because we're about to have a change. What's going to change on our coins? That's right, because all of the coins in my pocket at the moment have the Queen's face on them, and they're going to change. When I was growing up, I had coins with all sorts of faces on them, some even with Queen Victoria on them, which shows how I wasn't alive when Queen Victoria was on the throne, I hasten to add. But on the coin, you'll find an inscription, that's the words, and a face. And Jesus said, well, whose face and whose inscription's on the coin? And the people said, well, it's Caesar. And Jesus said, well, here's the answer to your question. Give to Caesar what belongs to him, but give to God what belongs to God. And the people went, not a word. We've got no answer. and they had to go away. And that's something for us to remember, because the important bit there is give to God what's right to give to God. We're going to be talking about more about this later in the service. And you're going to be doing all sorts of stuff when you go out, maybe some fun with riddles and other stuff. Right, we're going to sing now. Hymn 164, God Gave Me Eyes So I Could See. When I was down in Limekilns just before the service, we were talking about things that made us laugh, you know, these inconsequential things that come along. And I almost laughed in that hymn, because as the children went out, we were singing, God gave me feet so I could run, so I could be free. Whoosh, out they go from church. It's my mind, I can't help it. Kath is leading us in prayer today.
Our prayer of praise and to say sorry was written by Carolyn Brown, and I found it on the website reworshipblogspot.com. It does have a response, and the response is, thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. And you may recognise it comes from the Lord's Prayer. So the response is, thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Let us pray. Lord God, you are the Alpha and Omega. You were here before anything else existed. And you will be here when everything and everyone has come to an end. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Creating God, you spoke and the entire universe came into existence. You know the secrets of stars and black holes and far-flung galaxies. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Lord of all creation, you are aware of every tiny creature on each plant. You pay attention to insects and birds and us. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. God of history, you call us to be your people. You appointed us to care take care of this planet Earth. You gave us rules for living well together. You call us to do great things. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Loving God, you created each one of us. You know us by name and watch over us. You are with us when everything is wonderful, and you walk with us through the worst of days. You hold us up when we are scared and vulnerable, and when we are happy and glad. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. God of mercy, you know everything we do, the good and the bad, and yet you still do not give up upon us. Give up on us. When we mess up, you call us back to yourself, and you forgive us when we don't deserve it. And therefore, we confess our sin to you in the silence which follows. Alpha and Omega, you are greater than we can understand, vaster than we can imagine, more amazing than we can put into words. You forgive us, strengthen us, guide us, guard us, and give us hope. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
And for our readings this morning, Elaine is going to read to us a passage from the book of Proverbs and then that short story that we mentioned when the children were in, from Luke's Gospel.
The first reading is from Proverbs chapter 28, and we read from verse 1 to 11. Wisdom above wealth. The wicked flee, though no one pursues, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. When a country is rebellious, it has many rulers, but a ruler with discernment and knowledge maintains order. A ruler who oppresses the poor is like driving rain that leaves no crops. Those who forsake instruction praise the wicked, but those who heed it resist them. Evildoers do not understand what is right, but those who seek the Lord understand it fully. Better the poor whose way of life is blameless than the rich whose ways are perverse. A discerning son heeds instruction, but a companion of gluttons disgraces his father. Whoever increases wealth by taking interest or profit from the poor amasses it for another who will be kind to the poor. If anyone turns a deaf ear to my instruction, even their prayers are detestable. Whoever leads the upright along an evil path will fall into their own trap, but the blameless will receive a good inheritance. The rich are wise in their own eyes. One who is poor and discerning sees how deluded they are. Our second reading is taken from Luke chapter 20, and we read from verses 20 to 26, God and Caesar. Keeping a close watch on him, they sent spies who pretended to be sincere. They hoped to catch Jesus in something he said, so that they might hand him over to the power and authority of the governor. So the spies questioned him, "Teacher, we know that you speak and teach what is right, and that you do not show partiality, but teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. Is it right for us to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" He saw through their duplicity and said to them, "Show me a denarius. Whose image and inscription are on it?" "Caesar's," they replied. He said to them, "Then give back to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's." They were unable to trap him in what he said there in public, and astonished by his answer, they became silent. Amen. And may God bless the reading from his word.
We sing hymn number 467. All my days I will sing this song of gladness. I was speaking to an independent financial advisor recently, and he said to me that he was a real advocate for paying taxes. To those that he met who said, "I'll do anything to avoid paying tax," he had a question. What do you expect if you are ill and need a hospital or a doctor? Implicit in this question is one of the founding principles of the National Health Service. Access to NHS services is based on clinical need, not an individual's ability to pay. And so the question is, how is it paid for? And of course, we know that it is taxes. Much that we depend upon in daily life is paid for by taxation. There are things that we need on a daily basis. There are things that we will need at a particular moment in time. And there are things that we want to be there, but we hope we will never need to use them. I want to pay for the fire brigade, but I don't want my house to go on fire. A few years ago, there was a campaign within the church that asked us to recognise that paying taxes was a Christian duty, that it was something that we should rejoice in, not something that we should grumble over. Now, that's not to say that there are no reservations about the way government use taxation. But it is good for us to realise that there is far more that we can rejoice in than we have reservations over. Every so often, I need to be reminded that in this imperfect nation with imperfect government, I am really fortunate to live in this country with so much good and so many benefits. And in those moments, if I am paying more into the system than I get out of the system, then I should rejoice that I am wealthy enough to do so. If I pay in more than I get out, then my giving is going to others in more need and or with less wealth. One interpretation of the message that we read from Luke's Gospel is that Jesus is in favour of paying taxes. And that has been one of the interpretations of that little story and Jesus' answer. Now, it is fairly clear from the Gospels that Jesus and his disciples did pay their taxes, and that would have included not just the temple tax, but Roman tax. This story about Jesus is not primarily on the subject of tax. The question asked of Jesus is using the question of tax as a vehicle to trap him. In many ways, this question ties together religion and politics. And to those who say that faith and politics should be kept separate, I always say impossible. Politics is in every bit of our living, and faith is that by which we live. They are intertwined. When we read this story, we recognise how cleverly that approach to Jesus is. It's quite different from that moment if you watch political debate, if you watch the news, if you watch interviews. You know those moments when the interviewer has a question for a politician and the only answers that can be given are either yes or no? And as much as the interviewer wants an answer, the interviewee does not want to give one and will do anything to avoid giving the answer that is wanted. And there always seems to be a level of aggression from the interviewer. I'm asking you a question. Is it yes? Is it no? And there is the evasion by the politician. There is no aggression here. It's a very different scenario. And as I was saying to the children, it was very cleverly done. Those who set the trap were putting it in a way that was just, you're meant to draw Jesus in. Notice the political acumen by beginning with flattery. You're a man of integrity. We know that you always say what is true. And then, we've got this wee question. The appearance of respect. I mean, of course, Luke has warned us that this is a trap so that we see the false innocence of the questioner from the very beginning. If this were merely a story about Jesus being clever, I doubt if it would actually have been in the Gospels. Luke is very clear about what he is writing. He is writing so that people will believe. So there's something more here than Jesus being clever. Yes, there is something here that says, pay your taxes. Yes, there is something here that shows that Jesus has the wisdom to see through the trap, through the riddle, I suppose. But the story has something much more important to see. It's meant as a trap. If Jesus says yes, he looks to be on the side of Rome and against God's people. If he says no, he can be denounced to the Roman authorities and they'll deal with him. Either way, he cannot win. We should be aware that the crowd are interested in the answer. The duplicity of the questioner is not repeated in the crowd. They're wondering how Jesus will answer. And that answer will define Jesus. The reply, of course, reveals Jesus' understanding. A coin is a very useful visual aid. And Jesus asks a very simple question. But what we should realise is the place that this is being asked. Jesus is in Jerusalem. If he's not in the temple, he's very close to the temple. And there's a whole other story in there, because the coin that is produced could not be used as a gift to God. If you were going to pay your temple tax, if you were going to give to God, you had to exchange your money, because a coin that had the Roman emperor's face on it couldn't be used because he claimed to be a god. So to make the offering, it all had to be changed. It was Roman authority that had given the coinage in common use. And so Jesus says, well, you all know this belongs to Caesar. Give back to Caesar what is Caesar's. This addresses the question posed from a political point of view. But that's not where Jesus stops, and that is what is important for us to pick up from this story. It's not give to Caesar what is Caesar's. Far more important is give to God what is God's. Those listening, and particularly those who had posed the question, would have known that the most important thing here was the giving to God. So here we are in these times where there are lots of questions about taxation and the cost of living. There are all sorts of questions about politics and finance swirling around us at this moment. How do we use resource in the society of which we are part? How do we play a right part in this society? Be that by taxation or other ways, it's all important. But far more important is what we give to God as we live out our lives as Christian people. What we do and give as part of society is a part of being Christian. By far the bigger question is how we do this as God's people. As I got to the end of this sermon, we're at the end of the sermon, as I got to the end of writing this, a puzzle was answered for me. And that puzzle was, why on earth did I choose that quotation that is underneath a taxing question? I found it. I put it there, and then when I got round to writing the sermon, I thought, what on earth is that about? And then I realised, you start by doing what is necessary. You have to pay your taxes. There are things in society that are necessary. And then there are things that are possible. The shoeboxes that we had piled here that are going out with Blytheswood Care to Eastern Europe, to people who have nothing. It is possible for us to give. And those of us who give to the food bank, and of course I was talking last week about us taking part in the reverse Advent calendar. These are things that are possible. And of course, Francis concludes that by saying that by doing these, suddenly you're doing the impossible. And that's God's grace. So we do what is necessary. We do what is possible. And in God's grace, we find ourselves doing the impossible. Jesus was answered an impossible question, and he had the answer. In our living, it sometimes seems that there are impossible questions, but God is the answer. Amen. Kath will now lead us in our prayers for others.
COP27 begins today. That's the climate change conference. And it's been in the news just recently that this is a significant meeting. Do we all know why? Have we all got the message? Can I tell you? In 2015, 194 countries committed to the goal of limiting the rise in the global average to well below 2 degrees Celsius. Ideally to below 1.5 degrees Celsius. Targets submitted by governments last year in Glasgow at the COP26 were insufficient. And countries have been asked to revise their targets before today's conference. But the UN reported last month that the world at the moment is on track for a warming of 2.8 degrees. Celsius. And in the UN's words, there is, quote, no credible pathway, unquote, to 1.5 degrees Celsius. So I think you agree with me that the situation is serious. And I think it's only right that we prioritise our prayers this morning for COP27. I know there are other serious matters which need our prayer, and so to accommodate that, I'm going to leave a silence at the end, okay? And I'm going to thank Leslie Fielder for the prayer this morning, because it's she that wrote it. She's a Quaker, but more importantly, she's the UN representative on climate change. She's an expert, and that's why I'm using it. Okay, so let us pray. Abba Father, you are our creator. You created a beautiful world in which to live and share with a myriad of creatures, visible and invisible. How the world speaks of your imagination, your generosity, your awesomeness. Oh, Father, we know we have not stewarded your gift of the world as we should. Our home is in great peril. We are sorry and repent of our wrongdoing. And so this morning, we intercede for our planet, for all living things, and for COP27, and for ourselves as COP27 meets. We pray for our leaders of the world that they will listen and grasp the urgency of climate change, that they will have the courage to change, to transform our economic systems, which depend on extraction, exploitation, and dispossession. We pray for all developed countries that they will take the lead in the reduction of greenhouse emissions and provide the money which was promised to poorer nations to help them adapt to the climate crisis and invest in a more sustainable future. We pray that the money provided will come as grants and not as loans. We pray that all countries will do what they can to reduce the usage of fossil fuels and to promote sustainable economies, political and social systems. Father, we pray for the protection of the poor and the most vulnerable, who are the least responsible for climate change, but the most affected and the least resilient to deal with its problems. We pray that the human rights of all people, but of Indigenous peoples in particular, will be protected, particularly in the negotiations over carbon trading schemes. And we pray for a greater compassion towards migrant peoples. We pray that the voices of those whose lives are already under threat will be heard. Those peoples who are marginalised. We would pray that they will be listened to and believed. We pray that you will protect climate scientists and activists, that they will be able to work without intimidation and with sufficient support and funding. We pray for wisdom, courage, and compassion in our climate negotiators, that there will be honesty and a working together to come up with creative solutions. And we pray for ourselves, that we will have the courage to look at our own lives as individuals, as families, and as a church, and make changes. Help us to reflect your love and grace and be light and salt to our local communities. Abba Father, Creator God, Lord, we ask for boldness and creativity, honesty and fairness, truth and integrity, justice and generosity. Help us to hope and trust in you, the one who created us in your own image and loves us beyond measure. And now, in the silence which follows, we bring our own concerns to God. Father, hear our prayers. In the name of Jesus, our Lord and Saviour. Amen. And before I go, I want to tell you, there is a campaign that's been organised by the members of Interfaith Mission across the world. And they're calling for people of faith to hold the world in prayer at noon each day, while COP27 meets, wherever they are across the world. So in this way, there will be a wave of prayer surrounding the world. I plan to try and do that as much as I can until Friday the 18th of November. So 12 noon, let's hold the world in prayer. And to help you remember, set an alarm, because that's what I'm going to do. Thank you.
Our closing hymn is Rejoice, the Lord is King. And on the one hand, that is our confidence that we are not under the authority of all earthly authority, but we are under the authority of, you know, the Lord is King. But it is also our responsibility, because we have to live the Lord is King. So it is both our confidence and our responsibility. So let's sing hymn 449, Rejoice, the Lord is King. Go now to love and to serve the Lord, and the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always.